T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Tom Thayer.
Oh, no!
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him.
Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball, making sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down.
Tom Thayer.
The Dog Bird!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a humiliation to have to speak to a man as great as Tom Thayer. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Tom.
How am I? That's a loaded question, Mully.
I got to tell you, yeah, I texted David at one point, and I just said, has the paint dried? Because, I mean, I know he's watching it, and I'm watching it, and it's like, what an awful, awful offense the poor Bears have. I mean, you just feel sorry for people.
Who do you feel sorry for?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for me.
Yes.
Describing it.
Well, that's the problem. How do
putting
you describe
it in perspective.
That?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the unique thing about football is you sit there and whether, you know, we're watching games of other teams or you're watching the games of your own team and you sit there and you kind of just watch them go by. But then when you have to go back and you got to slow it down and you got to look at each play individually and stuff, then it becomes more disappointing because there's things out there that they should be settled by this point in the season. They should be understood by this point in the season, and they should be more well constructed by this point in the season. And when they're going in the opposite direction, the second time around is more frustrating just because, listen, I've been through the process before. I've been on losing teams. I've been on good teams, but I've been an offensive lineman my whole life. I've studied offensive football my whole life. And so, when you sit there and you have a chance and slow things down, it is frustrating that they're making the mistakes at this point in the season that they're making.
Tom, I know you're a former offensive lineman. Everybody understands that, but I think you're objective enough to look at this from, you know, removing emotion from the equation or that to your pass from it. Are we overstating how bad the offensive line is and saying that that is the root of all the problems? And assigning blame to maybe that deficiency and saying, okay, that's why the quarterback doesn't work. That's why the receivers are unreliable. That's why the running game has stalled. It all starts up front.
Yeah, you know, I would be in agreement with that because, you know, I mean, there's other exact, you know, the thing about it is, yeah, it's how well do you run the ball? You know, that kind of tells the story of your offensive line. But so we're not running the ball well. We are really unaware of our pass protection responsibilities, depending upon how many guys they're showing at the line of scrimmage or where they're at before the snap of the ball. There's too many bad snaps in the course of the game. So all these things that create the deficiencies in the offense and their inability to sustain a drive or score points. Yeah. Unfortunately, and I, you know, because those are the guys that I gravitate towards. But I think right now, a lot of the issues that are that nothing can get started up front. You know, you run a couple wildcat plays and, you know, there's a slow mesh point between Cordero Patterson and Allen Robinson that kind of just slows down the whole process of the play and that creates deficiency. David, I would have to agree with you at this point in the season.
149 total yards for their offense. And that, I got to be honest with you, you're not going to win a football game doing that, Tom. Not in this era, certainly. They won on defense, I thought, for the most part, and they won on special teams. And yet you can't win a football game if you can't gain more than if you can't even get to 150 yards.
I'm just amazed over the last 2 weeks and how well the defense has played against the types of offenses they played against. Again, Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins, you know, they're not, you know, the most proficient of passers in the league right now, but they have solid quality running games, and the Bears have been able to completely shut them down. And then when you say with the lack of compliment, again, you know, Jeff and I were saying four of the first six drives, the Bears controlled the ball for a minute and 50 seconds or less. So when I think about the defense and the overall performance, I think about how tired some of these guys are and how quickly they have to go back on the field. So, you know, as poorly as the offense is playing, the defense is still holding up to their end of the bargain. And I know they're respected around the league, even though they're not getting any real support from the offense.
Does it matter who calls plays, Tom? What did you think about Matt Nagy, pivoting and asking or having Bill Lazor do it? And could you tell the difference?
No, I didn't like it, first of all. I didn't want Matt to give up the play-calling duties because as bad as the offense has been, there's probably been about maybe, you know, four to five plays that I disagreed with what Matt was calling. However, it's not – the plays are being called. It's the inability to block the plays that are being called. So the first play of the game, they go to a lateral pass to Darryl Mooney. We've seen a lot of those. And one of my keys of the game, I thought, was how much effectiveness can you get out of the lateral offense? I mean, those passes down the line of scrimmage, screens, jet sweeps and stuff, and they didn't. Then the second play of the game was an interception, and then, you know, again, I have every single play documented, and it is. I don't think there was any difference in the offense. We had two or three wildcat plays called, but you know, one went for 4 yards, and then the other one went for a tackle for a 3 yard loss. So it's not like we saw something of a coming. You know, Jimmy Graham, caught a pass in 22 straight games. He was targeted twice, didn't catch a pass. Cole Kmet was lucky enough to catch one pass on a desperation scramble by Nick Foles. So there was a lot of the offense that I was hoping that was going to be included that was not included in this game plan.
You know, I feel like Bill Lazor had no chance, though. I mean, Tom, you know, to get that responsibility and to not have the kind of time that you need to actually implement anything or try anything, maybe after having the bye week, maybe something changes. I don't know what it would. I mean, maybe you get some healthier people, but I don't know. I don't know what to make of where the Bears are with four straight losses for two seasons running. You just don't, and I know this year we're not looking at last year, but you cannot put together losing streaks like that. Period. End of story.
Right. Well, you know, then, I mean, does a competition start in practice? Does whoever's going to start outside a few of the obvious guys on the offensive side of the ball, is everybody's job up for negotiation? Is it up for how well you practice? That's you're going to get a chance to play. Because, you know, when you present the different periods that you go through during the course of a week of practice, you have a chance to show these players what you're expected to see out of a Mike Zimmer-led defense. And when I see the mistakes up front and according to their pass protection responsibilities or even, you know, the way they formed to fit into a running play, it's just not there. So, you know, whomever is calling the plays, these guys, they have to be coached more intelligently, so they're not making these mental errors. It's really tough when you go out there and you see how many third down blitzes that there wasn't a hot read there, you know, third down where there was wrong determination who you were responsible for in the line of scrimmage. So, you know, everybody is going to have a hand in this and getting the mistakes corrected so you can go out there and look better anyways.
Tom, postgame, Eddie Jackson shared the message in a Zoom that he gathered his team and addressed the team about accountability. And he said, quote, "You see guys coming off the field, their head down. No one says nothing to them. That has to change." What do you think? Are you noticing anything different? What was your level of concern with this sort of unraveling in the locker room because the defense is playing like a playoff team, and the offense is playing like a team that's not capable of being a 500 team?
Well, you know, I don't want the defensive players to hide their frustration and the lack of support. And when you look at a team effort, because you know the offense has to supply these guys with some support. Or you know, how are you not going to hang your head when you're coming to the sideline? You know, you come out and you set the tone, and you have a three and out, or you create a turnover or something like that. Then you're back on the field a minute and 20 seconds later. There is no time to get any coaching, get any rest, you know, get refreshed by the time you're back on the field. And I don't think, you know, the locker room will be separated, because I don't think that's the atmosphere here, but it's going to be very challenged inside there when, you know, the offense is really not contributing anything to this defense. And, you know, the defense is still respected around the league. However, it's just there is no respect for the offense right now.
Akeem Hicks went out. That seems to be a player that would be atop any list of guys you can least afford to lose. And it, you know, when you see a guy with a hamstring, it usually takes a while. What happens to the interior of that defense, already kind of undermanned, without Akeem there?
Yeah, you know, they're fortunate because Brent Urban's playing well. They got and Mario Edwards Jr. is playing well. Blau Nichols can move up and down the line of scrimmage. So I don't think that Akeem would be lost very long, just, you know, with this time that he has to rest and recover. But, you know, Akeem, he plays an important role. He plays an important part of this defense. Whether it's the fun trash talking he does at the line of scrimmage or just by his play, and the offensive linemen recognize that in preparation to play Akeem Hicks. So, to me, I hope he's up and ready to go when they play the Packers in a couple weeks, and hopefully that it wasn't that much of a strain where the staff here can get on him and get him healed up so he can play.
Tom, will health be the determining factor as far as what the Bears do at the quarterback position? We heard that Nick Foles is not, according to NFL Network, have a serious injury. We don't know the status of Mitch, but Matt Nagy sounded optimistic postgame that he might be available. Will health be factoring in more than anything else about that?
Well, you know, I would like to know where Mitch is at, mentally, physically, emotionally. Is he completely detached from the team, or is he still attached? Does he want to play? If he does want to play, he would probably be candidate number one. I'm confused about, you know, Tyler Bray, because Tyler's been here so long and he's got, you know, he played college football. Have you been here for this long with knowing that you are only trying to develop the skills to be a third team quarterback or a practice squad quarterback? And I don't think that's the mindset you want to have here. So I hope Tyler Bray gets an opportunity to get involved in the mix and serious consideration for, excuse me, whatever position Nick is in. I just hope that they would go out and investigate Tyler and Mitch and see what, see what level they both are at.
Tom, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye, man. See you later.
Hang in there.
Yeah, that is Tom Thayer. Always a joy to talk to Tom. What a tough job he has trying to come to terms with what is unfolding in front of him. That was a very disappointing game yesterday, man.
And he does it well because he's objective and he's honest about his insight. And I think it's interesting what he said there, Molly, do the Bears have to decide between three quarterbacks if they all are relatively healthy and you think Mitch is coming back and Foles is going to be okay? Is Tyler Bray really in the mix here?
Well, I think it goes back to a real simple question, which is who's here next year, right? I mean, Mitch is not going to be under contract and they're not going to turn around and pay him the kind of money to keep him, right? So even if he does anything at the end of the year, I think it's very unlikely. Nick Foles, where are you at with him moving forward? So I just think that it's, you know, virtually impossible to figure out what you're going to do when you actually take into account who's there and who isn't there. And Mitch is not going to be there, period, end of story.
So I don't know what option you have, though, if he's healthy and, you know, Tom said, where's his head at? He's a professional. You want to play. You want the ball. You want a chance, don't you, to kind of end things the right way?
You would hope so. But I don't know the severity of that shoulder injury, and that's his throwing arm, right? So, I mean, I just think that as much as it's week to week, we're all week to week. Tom Thayer at 7 a.m., sponsored by Loyola Medicine. Feeling is believing. Visit feelingisbelieving.org. All right, who would you want to see a quarterback? 312-644-6767. Poor Nick Foles. Should you give him a week off? Beside the week off, just to let it all kind of sink in. Oh, you want Mitch back? You want to know what Tyler Bray can do? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No return yards in this game as Cordarrelle Patterson will have an opportunity about 5 yards. Deep comes up on the right hash, angles to the 10, to the 15, to the 20. Gets a block, 25, 30, 35, 40. Gets by Bailey. There goes the pony down the sideline. 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. And a record-tying touchdown by Cordarrelle Patterson.
There goes the pony. Great job, Jeff Joniak. The great clip of the game, sponsored by Great Clips. Great hair, great care. Great Clips is going to be great.
Yeah, no, by just persistence over resistance. You know, we had some guys break it down in the locker room at the end of the game there, and I was impressed with what they had to say. And again, I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it goes to show the character that we're fighters. And as hard as it is, and as frustrating, and like you said, you haven't won in a month. You know, we got to just keep using that persistence over resistance and just keep fighting and keep staying together. And eventually something here, you know, will hopefully change. And I think that's where we got to believe and trust and keep playing for each other.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the head coach. That's Matt Nagy. He's the head coach. He's not the play caller.
That's right.
At least he wasn't for one day.
Fired we'll the see. Play caller.
Thankfully. Yeah. And he might have to keep doing that. I'll stop. 312-644-6767. I'm sorry. It was a joke. Let's get to Mike. He's in Naperville. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Mike.
Gentlemen. Well, I hope I never hear that persistence against resistance again the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Hey, real quickly, you know, I watched the difference between who I consider average Kirk Cousins and Nick Foles. Nick Foles stands there, goes on the same count every play, no audibles. He looks like he has no idea what he's looking at when they line up with nine guys on the line. And Tom Thayer was perfect. Where was Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet? If you're going to get blitzed, your tight end's one of your first reads for at least 4 to 6 yards. And he never, ever audibled out of all that pressure. So Ryan Pace, if he can pack his bags, sell his house, and leave today, that would be awesome. And then we move on.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I don't know how much to hold Nick Foles responsible at the line of scrimmage because there's a lot going on there. I know there was the one example where he didn't read the hot read correctly, and you know, you thought he could have gotten rid of the ball quicker. And there's a lot going on there. But I think that a couple weeks ago, there are examples of Nick Foles, you know, diagnosing things at the line of scrimmage and making the right call. So I don't know last night if it was Nick Foles or just there was a lot going on up front, and a bad defense played pretty well for the Minnesota Vikings.
David, the Tech Zone, as you well know, is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And we have a texter responding to the great Clips clip of the day where he says, I find this very amusing, a 15-second highlight, was it that long, doesn't erase 59 minutes and 45 seconds of suck. But maybe I need to recalibrate.
Fair enough. I get it. Yeah, but it was close. It came close. That was quite a highlight.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
more of that, please.
You know, some games, the great clip is easier to find than others. And it was very easy to find that one.
Yeah. Well done, Kevbo.
Yeah. Let's get to John. John's in Wooddale. Good morning, John.
Hi, John.
Hey. Good morning, guys.
What's going on?
So I was listening earlier, and Tom talked about how he was embarrassed and who should be embarrassed. And I agree, Tom for sure should be embarrassed. The fans should be embarrassed. But in the locker room, you got to feel like this. We got to feel embarrassed for this defense. I feel terrible for the defense. They got to go to the sidelines thinking, okay, here we go. Maybe we'll start something. And then we go three and out. Foles gets sacked. We do these wide receiver screens to the short side, and they just get blown up, and they got to go back out there and do their job, which they're doing phenomenally. And I know you guys, the question going into the break was who should start, Mitch or Nick, after the bye week. And I'm one of the
– Tyler.
Oh, or okay. Tyler, that's right. Yeah. If it's Tyler, then I honestly think Nagy should be fired on the spot, or somebody should be fired. That's just my opinion. But I'm one of the few guys who may be left who thought that Mitch should have never been benched. I think Foles, that Atlanta game was great. It's basically what Mitch did in Detroit. But since then, I just every single week is frustration, more frustration, stress, sadness for the defense, and I have no joy watching this offense. And
John, honest answer, do you think the Bears are better than 5-5 if they never change quarterbacks?
I think yesterday we could have won that game, so I'll go at least 6-4. But
okay,
I think
that's fair enough. A lot of people agree with you, John. I don't, but I think that I understand why there's so much frustration that people might come to that conclusion based on everything they saw last night and what Nick Foles has not done since taking over.
Well, I think it's important. I think it was important to see the failure under Nick Foles because it underscores the failure under Mitch wasn't strictly Mitch. Now, Mitch failed. I wouldn't give him anything in terms of a passing grade. But I think that watching Foles fail, it reinforced that the problems are so deep on this group. And I honestly don't know how you don't kind of tear it down at this point, David, and just start from scratch, because you're paying money to guys that are mediocre players, and you're not giving them tons of money, but there's a lot of mediocrity. You're paying a fortune on that defense. You're giving a lot of money to a lot of different players. They mentioned Robert Quinn on the broadcast. He apparently set the edge at one point. That's just fantastic. Now, I don't know if it's worth what they're paying, but the fact of the matter is that they have poured a ton of money into that defense. I believe one of us demanded a defensive touchdown yesterday, and yeah. I didn't see it. And if they had
either.
Scored it, they'd have won the damn game. So, unfortunately, that's the position they're in, where if you don't get a defensive touchdown, you're not going to win a game. But, that's the sad reality of their existence.
But they did get a special teams touchdown. And
yeah,
I think
did.
If you get one touchdown a game, or in a game like last night that is a 19-13 slugfest, then you should be able to win. And that's the minimum if you got the minimum out of your offense. The problem is that the Bears are below average at every position on offense. And that's a problem, even with Allen Robinson. And Allen Robinson is being wasted. You talk about the defense being wasted. Allen Robinson is being wasted in this offense. And if you can't even reach the level of average, you're going to be a team that manages a meager 149 yards, the low watermark of the Matt Nagy era.
Kevin's going to give us a scoreboard update. We're going to be back to take your phone calls. Mully and on the score.
Bro, I mean, it's tough. You know, it's really tough. Like, you know, we tired of it. You know, like I said, it's up to us, you know, as a team to change it. You know, the coaches are not going to always call the perfect calls, the best call. You know what I mean? It's for us to go out there and execute to the best of our ability. You know, and when the players start, everybody started to understand that, you know, then we'll go far. But right now, if we don't do that, holding each other accountable, going out there and not minding what's the call, what's came in, just do our job.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's Eddie Jackson talking about accountability, and that's fair, but goodness gracious, that is tough stuff to watch. Let's try Devin. Devin is in Kenosha. Good morning, Devin.
Morning, Devin.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Okay.
Didn't sleep enough, buddy. That horror show kept me up.
I'm still trying to wipe these tears off my eyes from these past couple of games, man. But I call it to say I definitely think they are in a better position with Trubisky on the field. Granted, he won't go out and turn a season around. I definitely could see him winning one to two more games. You just see the downside with Foles in there. He's not agile. He's not mobile. You'll see at least 10 to 12 yards of green field in front of him, and he can't even scramble to get the first down. It's like, why would you want that? And I definitely feel like they were very premature when they even pulled Trubisky in the first place, because at that point in the season, he hadn't lost one game yet. So you're telling me, oh, if your quarterback is going to lose one game, let's pull him? Like, that just didn't make any sense. But you clearly see with Foles in there that it clearly wasn't Mitchell Trubisky's fault. And I tell all my friends this all the time. It's really hard for a rookie quarterback to come into a team with no identity, no good quarterback in front of him to watch. And I always say, if you look at Brady, you look at Rodgers, let's say Mahomes, there's so many people who come into a team where they have a winning history, they have a quarterback to learn from and watch, but people like Trubisky, they get thrown in there with no guidance, no good coaches, and then they're deemed not good, and I really don't like that. A lot of good quarterbacks go to waste like that, and then they're one, maybe two seasons, and then they're out of the NFL after that, and I definitely feel like Trubisky can be great with great leadership.
Thanks, Devin. Yeah, I don't even think that. Yeah, I mean, look, Mitch turned a corner in a lot of people's minds in 2018, and he had a good season that he could have built off of. He regressed in 2019, and this year there was a reason why, you know, it wasn't just 2.5 games that they were basing this decision on to replace him. It was more than that. It was 2.5 seasons. So I don't know. I think we'll talk a lot about the quarterback position. I think we'll talk a lot about Trubisky going back and replacing Foles, and I don't think a lot of it matters.
We'll bring in Olin Krutz next, and he will straighten us all out on who's good and who isn't and how to judge it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Olin Krutz.
I'm going to tell you right now, I was at the game. I got to sit in the end zone, and I got to watch a lot of Hicks and Matt.
And those two guys together, I'm going to tell you right now, I would not want to face those two animals.
Olin Krutz.
Man, that is a tough defense to come in off the bench and face.
Olin Krutz.
If the offense ever does catch the defense, well, then we're going to be doing a Super Bowl show. I think they'll come along. I think they will get better. How good, how quickly, that's anybody's guess.
Olin Krutz. Every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We got a lump of coal last night, and Olin Krutz joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Oh, Olin, that was just, it was shameful, quite frankly. That was so bad on offense. Just god awful.
Morning, Olin.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I mean, look, I was hoping, you were hoping that they would look different. You were hoping that it'd give them some kind of boost, but definitely not expecting much of a change on the offensive side of ball. There are a couple plays there to be made by some guys that weren't made that could have put them on the board, could have gave them a win late in the game. Miller could have came up with another game-winning catch if the pass was a little better, if he laid out and caught it. But about, you know, when you go through the, what the talent is and the guy calling plays isn't too different from the, you know, than Coach Nagy. Laser is not different. If you go through Laser's history and who exactly he is as a play caller and who he is schematically, you weren't expecting that big of a difference on offense.
Olin, enjoyed the post-game show on NBC Sports Chicago. I was writing, so I was listening half to what you were saying, but can you clarify what you meant in terms of talking about Tyler Bray potentially getting a shot at quarterback and what the Bears should do at the position moving forward?
Yeah, I just think that it's a big part of the problem when you look at the way this Chicago Bears offensive roster has been constructed over years, and you look at the draft picks and who they've had around and who they've taken time to develop and who they've had on their roster, and you're not shocked at why the Bears are where they're at offensively, right? Because if you just look at, okay, why is the defense so good? Well, their first round picks, you know, are pretty much since Ryan Pace has been here, it's Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack, because you trade 2 ones for Khalil Mack. On offense, your first round picks are Kevin White and Mitch Trubisky. And then you keep around, you know, usually in that third quarterback spot, you'd have a young guy that you are grooming. And for whatever reason, they've kept Tyler Bray around. My only guess is that Coach Nagy is comfortable with him. And look, I just want to see him so we can get past this, keeping Tyler Bray as the third quarterback on a roster that needs another quarterback. So can we get past that and get a young guy in here to develop? Because the problems on offense, first of all, you know, is they have no advantage, guys, anywhere, right? They have, you know, you thought you'd have an advantage through the scheme. You don't, right? Last night, Zimmer outguessed Laser or whoever came up with the blitz protection plan and the protection plan. He outguessed them all night and had them behind the eight ball. He was sending more guys than they had when they went five-man protection, and then he was dropping guys into coverage when they tried to guess that he was going to blitz. And he outguessed them scheme-wise, so there you don't have an advantage. You don't have an advantage through players when there are plays to be made, and the offensive line obviously is not playing well, and they have injuries again this year. But when there are plays to be made, they're not made. Look, Foles' first interception after Danny Trevathan causes that fumble, the blocking is good. The blocking is perfect. Mooney is there open for the first down. And whether you want to say Miller should have caught the ball or Foles threw it too far to the right, none of that was on the offensive line, that interception. So even when the blocking is there, the plays aren't being made. You know, when you're looking for the scheme to give you an advantage, whether with a screen to the running back or a throwback off a sprint or anything to give you an advantage, you're not getting any of that. And that's why you're looking at this offensive football that we've been watching.
you know, that's fascinating because I watched that play several times just trying to figure out what went wrong there with Miller. The pass was behind him, and he made an effort for it, but all mm-hmm. he did was create an interception. I mean, it wasn't – I get it. It wasn't the perfect throw, but his effort for it really was part of the problem. And it just it that's their offense. They just can't right. seem to click.
Right, and that's exactly right. When you really go through the film, I mean, there's times when, you know, obviously the offensive line doesn't block on run plays, and there's times when they do block on run plays, and the hole is pretty big, and the running back is bouncing outside, or like when we watch Artavius Pierce, who, you know, obviously had a 6-yard run, I think, and a 5-yard run, but he decides with 3 or 4 more yards there to get that he's going to run out of bounds instead of get those 3 or 4 more yards. Lamar Miller doesn't even get a carry through the whole football game. And you're just watching these things and wondering, obviously, you know, what the hell are they thinking out there? Because, you know, if you go into the game and Montgomery is hurt, Massey is hurt, James Daniels is hurt. These are three pretty darn good football players on an offense that's not very good. And you're wondering, okay, where are they going to get their plays from? And when the explosive plays are there to be made, they don't make them, right? They're down there on the 7-yard line on the second drive of the game, and Zimmer decides to heat them up and send blitzes, and the ball's got to come out, and they got to, you know, there's one time when the offensive line does pick it up, and Foles doesn't hit the quick pass for the touchdown, and there's another time when Coward doesn't come down and pick it up. So there it is. In a nutshell, it is sometimes the offensive line, but also when the offensive line, who is undermanned, does make their blocks, the other guys at the other positions don't make plays. And then to compound all your problems, you are getting out-coached by Zimmer on the other sideline. And then when you really look at it like that, guys, when you take a view objectively and you assess exactly what's going on with this offense, you are not shocked by the way they play.
You know, Olin, you've done a nice job consistently pointing out these sort of coaching shortcomings. And I think whether it's, you know, the overall scheme and what you're asking players to do, and as you just pointed out, what happened last night in terms against Mike Zimmer. But, so I guess, you know, we're at the point now they're 5-5, and you don't know what direction this is headed, but you have a bad feeling about what direction is headed. If you had to, you know, divide up the responsibility for where the Bears are and what might be next between coaching and personnel, how might you do that?
I don't really think you can. I think when you take a view from the outside, I think when something is this bad, obviously their plan in the offseason that they came up with didn't work. So that's where you start, right? You start with when you brought in your free agents, when you brought in your coaches, to already you knew you had to fix your offense. Your offense wasn't giving you any points. The average under 18 points a game. We've gone over this, you know, since 2018, the Rams game, the offense has been going in the wrong direction. And we've heard Coach Nagy, you know, at the podium over and over again talk about we have to get the offense fixed. We have to get the run game fixed. So the plans they've been coming up with the guys deciding what the decision makers who are analyzing everything and trying to figure out how to fix this, it has not worked to this point. And hopefully they find some kind of spark in this bye week and start to make the plays that are there. Because, look, guys, James Daniels is not coming back. I hope Bobby Massey comes back. I don't know if he will. Spriggs, hopefully his knee is better after the bye week, and they put him at right tackle, and hopefully that's an improvement. But these aren't guys who are Pro Bowl or All-Pro type players. The one guy you were hoping on the offensive line who would ascend to that was James Daniels and or Cody Whitehair. Looks like Cody Whitehair still having some identification problems, getting everybody lined up. But look, in his defense, I've played on offensive lines like that where guys weren't together all offseason. All of a sudden, you got a guy who played left guard playing right tackle. You got a guy who played center playing left guard. You have guys all over the place. And the communication and the fact that you all have to work together on the offensive line to be good is just not there. And it looks like that when you watch the film where guys are all over the place. And then, like I said, when it is there, you know, the skill guys just aren't making the plays. So they're all over the place. You can go, David, all the way back to the offseason and just say they were completely wrong in the way they built the coaching staff and the roster, because I think that's pretty obvious now here going into week 11. So, you know, how do they fix it? We've talked about details. I know that's over and over and over again, and people get frustrated with that. But really, it's the only chance that this offense has, and they have to go back and just say, look, we have to make the simple plays. And really, that starts with the quarterback. It starts with, you know, the quarterback just getting the ball out, just helping to arrange everything. Because if we're going to blame a guy who was an undrafted D lineman who moved over to the offensive line and right tackle, if we're going to blame him about why isn't he picking up the blitz, instead of ask the question, why isn't someone pointing it out to him and tell him, look, you got to step inside here and get this guy. He's coming. Let me tell you right now, this guy is coming. You have a squeeze call. Well, then if we're going to keep blaming Rashad Coward, what I'm going to tell you guys right now, we ain't never going to have a chance.
Yeah, you know, I think, Olin, that when you look at that game, the only thing you could say about the offense is they didn't have penalties. There weren't, like, some pre-snap penalties. And and that's not enough to say, but that seemed to be the lone positive. Am I missing something?
No, you're not. But I'm laughing because I heard Biggs earlier, and he was so right that it's what we've all been kind of saying. Like, look, this is how this team has to win, right? Like, they have to get takeaways. Well, they get two of them. They have to get a defense or a special teams touchdown. Well, they get one. They have to cut out their penalties. Well, they only get one.
Yeah.
They still lost. That to me, that was the scariest thing coming out of this game, that they did all of that. Now, look, the thing they did, I thought, that hopefully gives them some hope was, well, they can't turn the ball over either, right? You can't turn the ball over and expect to win the game if you're the Chicago Bears. And they get that fumble, and like we just talked about, on second down, they throw the ball, the interception immediately to Harrison Smith that bounced off Miller's hands, and the Vikings get 7 points off of that turnover. And you can say immediately that's the difference in the game right there. But, yes, they didn't get penalties yesterday. And actually, the Bears defensive line, who we don't talk about because the offense overshadows them, they put so much pressure on the Vikings offensive line that you were seeing holding calls all over the place, because basically that's the only way you slow those animals down.
No doubt. Olin, thank you. Great catching up. Appreciate your
time. Appreciate it, guys.
Good stuff, Olin.
Yeah, always good stuff. Go ahead.
The formula was in place. You know, you had your special teams touchdown. You had your defense swarming and stopping Dalvin Cook. What you didn't have, even if the offense turns the ball over, Mully, if they have those field goal drives result in touchdown drives, they win that game.
Right. I mean, they got down to the 5-yard line in the beginning of the game and had to kick a field goal.
Finish.
If they score a touchdown there, exactly. You have to finish. You have no choice. And it's hugely disappointing because those were few and far between those attempts. And, you know, frankly, there are all sorts of rules about the bye week. It's not like they're going back to training camp. The players are pretty much clearing out, up and gone, and they will meet tomorrow, and then they have the weekend off, and then they'll come back on Monday and start getting ready for the Green Bay Packers. It is just a dark time for the Bears. There's no doubt about it. 312-644-6767. Do you like that idea? Do you like just play Tyler Bray so we can move on from that one, and you don't waste any more time with a backup quarterback that is effectively another quarterback coach, right? It's fascinating to think about what they should do moving forward. I'd be hard pressed to find anyone with a solution. An idea would be a step forward. A solution, I think, is impossible in season for this offense.
I would agree with you.
312-644-6767. You got an answer, please. They're listening. You know they are. They need help. Help them. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.